This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
It's another exciting episode.
Yeah.
The pageantry and spectacle of Geek Speak.
In 2020.
And it's leap year, which means that today they get an extra minute of Geek Speak.
Absolutely.
I just made that up. There's no relationship between those two things, but
leap minute.
Because I'm a geek, I say stuff like that, and people go, "Really?
Hey, there are
try it. It works. Huh?
There are leap seconds. We do have those. Those are a thing.
Okay.
So,
how many leap seconds did we cheat the universe out of today? Well, at least 59.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
It's looking good. All right. I'm feeling truly, truly blessed.
All right. So, welcome to call in 963-2976 with your cable jigglings, printer problems, Mac issues, iPhone issues.
Of course, that new device that you got for Christmas that you can't figure out how to turn on.
Yeah, your heads-up display, whatever it may be.
Call us up and we'll let you know
how to jiggle the wire.
We don't know how to turn it on either. So, don't you hate that when you, like, you know, these devices, it's, you wonder if the people that designed them ever, like, did you ever try using this? It's like, because it's like, the power switch is not in a very obvious place. And, you know, there's a universal symbol for power switch, you know.
Yeah, there's standards for that. Hopefully.
Yep. So, anyway, so let's see. Did you get any good new tech for Christmas, Matt?
No, not really.
Besides the one I gave you today that you haven't had a chance to try out yet. So
exactly. Yeah. No, just kind of normal stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I got Matt one of these visor. It's a heads up display unit that it's a little cradle that goes on the dashboard of your car, and you put your phone in it and allows you to look at your GPS and the bumper stickers on the car in front of you simultaneously. At the same time, which is important.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, my car has a nice big flat dash, so I think I should be able to find a good spot for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm here to say that you can't try them out in your living room. It doesn't work. I've tried it, you know, and I'm just like, well, I don't see exactly how this is supposed to work, but, you know, just about everything with my test situation was wrong. I mean, the angle was wrong. The phone wasn't up on the dashboard, didn't have a big windshield in front of it. So anyway, we'll see. I haven't given it a chance to check it out myself. But fortunately, as long as I stay here in my little cocoon of the Roaring Fork Valley, I know where I'm going.
You know? You just are like, okay, I just go here.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've gotten lost, you know. So, but the next time I go to Denver, boy, I'm going to fire that bad boy up, man. So. And I have some really good news. Do we ever talk about Waze, the app Waze?
We have a while ago. I use it in Denver. It's quite useful.
Okay. And so, you know, Waze came out with a bunch of alternate voices. Did you know about that?
No.
Yeah.
I think last time I looked at the voice stuff, there's like two options.
Uh-huh. And a friend of mine turned me on to that one of the alternate voices is Cookie Monster.
Oh, that could be fun.
And I first tried this out, like, I think last summer. I tried out, and by golly, and he's just hilarious, you know. But then about a month and a half later, I tried to get on there, and he was gone. It was some sort of a special promotional thing. But anyway, I'm happy to report that he's back.
Oh, good.
So... yeah, so it's pretty fun. Let me see if I can get him to talk to us here in just a minute.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Yes.
As we get ready for Cookie Monster to give us directions to somewhere in Carbondale or Glenwood.
Let me see here. Okay.
Seatbelt on. Check. Cookie eaten. Om nom 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 nom. Check. Okay, off we go.
There we go.
Excellent.
And that's just one of them, you know. So
that's it. Says, good week.
What? It's go time? Why you not say so? Start your engines.
Excellent. Yep. Very much fun.
So, yeah, I played that for my grandson, and now every time we get in the car, he goes, put that Cookie Monster thing on. So, yep.
All right.
So how big's your TV, Matt?
75 inches.
Is that all?
That's all. Jeez. That's it.
That's,
I know. My wife was backing me up on that on an argument at a table the other day. I was like, she was like, yeah, it fits the room real nice. And the other wives are like, oh, you got like a 49 or a, you know, a 50 inch TV. And it's like, it's too big. It's too big. And it's, yeah, I'm pretty pleased.
I'll tell you the way it's looking, because my wife is like, she's a kind of an anti-technology person, which is pretty ironic, at least as far as big TVs goes. And I'm stuck on a 36 and I'm probably going to be till the day I die. But the reason I asked you is because, it's come to light now that, if you feel like you need a bigger TV, you can get one. And, they're topping out at, 292 inches now. So, that is, let's see.
How many feet is that?
That's over 24 feet or 7.4 meters for those of you that are from Europe.
24 feet diagonal. That's, yeah, that's massive.
That's downright intimidating is what that is. You know, I wonder if like when the screen gets bigger and bigger like that, and you're watching stressful movies, if the incidence of heart attacks goes up.
So how much bigger is like an IMAX or a movie theater, projector than that? I wonder.
Well, I'm guessing those screens are probably at least 50 feet diagonal.
But this is like an actual LCD of some kind that's stitched together
it's
something.
It's a micro LED technology, which, I mean, that sounds very impressive. I don't know exactly what that means, because as far as I was concerned, all the LEDs were micro before this. And so now they're really...
Well, but then you have OLED and QLED, and I can't remember what LG is. But
what does OLED stand for?
It is...
Awesome LED?
No.
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong word.
No, it's the other one. It's organic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or something like that.
So if you're like a macrobiotic vegetarian, you can get an organic television? Is that...
OLED.
That's about...
Let me make sure. It's something like that.
Got it. Yeah, so this is micro LED technology. So, and they actually have a little smaller version of it. If 292 inches is too big for you, or 24 feet, you can go with the 8K model at a paltry little 150 inches. So that'd be about twice the size of your TV, right?
Yeah. Well, four times the area. I'd have to get four of my TVs to cover that space.
That's true. That's good math. I would have never thought about that. That is four times.
So it is organic LED. That is correct.
Is it?
And then Q is like quantum for Samsung's technology and so on.
Okay.
So I'm not familiar with micro LED.
Nice. Okay.
But most of your high-end phones are OLED screens.
Okay. Very cool. So I want to remind everybody, if you've got that new tech gadget that you got for Christmas that you can't figure out how to turn on or how to turn off for that matter.
Do the batteries ever die on this thing? No, they don't.
They don't. It's like you're in forever. 963-2976. That's your questions for the geek. And we've got a pretty good range of experience here. It's Do you ever use any communications apps other than just the basic SMS and phone and so forth, like WhatsApp or anything?
So I use Signal.
Okay.
Which is an end-to-end encrypted messaging platform similar to WhatsApp, except for it's not owned by Facebook.
Got it.
So, and Edward Snowden and other people in that vein have reviewed it and said that it's very nicely done. My wife and I use it extensively, as well as several other people have started using it with me, and it's been really solid.
Got it. Well, I would say that an Edward Snowden endorsement is
so
priceless.
Yeah.
For an encrypted app.
Although I had the thought that it's like, perhaps he's a double agent. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But
or maybe Edward Snowden's sitting at the master control panel of that program and listening to your every word. You know?
Right.
So
So that's the one I use. I've been very pleased with Signal. And every once in a while I get a notification that says, hey, so-and-so is logged on to Signal. And I go say hi and, you know, welcome and whatnot. So, yeah,
got it.
And I would actually, you know, the other neat thing you can set is you can do disappearing. You can turn disappearing messages on and off.
Uh-huh.
So you can start a conversation and then say, well, I want this information to stay on the other person's phone for an hour.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So, for example, if I could say, tell a client to load that on there, mm-hmm. I could get connected, and I could say, you know, for an hour, you know, they could say messages delete after an hour,
mm-hmm.
and I could have that password, you know, for their computer or something for an hour. I don't have to write it down. It just goes away after
that. And what happens if they take a screenshot of it before it disappears?
That's the weakness.
Yeah, okay, got it.
So. That's... Although I don't know if it allows screenshots, but that's going to vary from platform to platform mm-hmm. and version and version and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
But like when you look at it in your list of applications that are running, it's blanked out.
Ah.
So I don't know if it would let you take a screenshot or not. I've never tried that, but theoretically, I know that's one of the people mm-hmm. complain about WhatsApp for that very thing. So,
mm-hmm. got it. You know what I've noticed is if you have a second phone, you can always take a screenshot.
Absolutely.
So it's handy hanging out with somebody else that has a phone in case you need to get past that. So we have been using, I don't know if we ever talked about it on the program or not, but in China, everything's done with this app called WeChat.
Uh-huh.
And including all your commerce.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's like an all-in-one app provided by the Chinese government.
Yeah, exactly. So they can keep track of...
They can keep your... your good points and your bad points in line.
Yeah, they basically know who's buying what, and they know what you're phoning home about. And so, you know, the funny thing about it is, though, that in the process, you know, we've used Hangouts, we've used FaceTime, and we've used WeChat. And I hate to say it, but WeChat has been the most reliable of all three of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know darn well it's being routed. Everything, all the traffic's being routed through China. So, I mean, which makes it even more impressive, you know, because it's like this stream of video that's going all the way to the other side of the world and back. And there's very little latency, very few dropped calls. You know, it's really ironic, you know, that would be the most reliable video conferencing video chat app that I've come across this
point. I haven't used the video chat on Signal a lot, but when we have used it, it's been very effective.
Got it. So, but I am happy to say that my daughter, who was living in China, has now moved back to the States. So we're in the process of deleting WeChat off of all of our devices so that they no longer know how much I spent at the convenience store, you know, on pumpkin seeds, as it were. Mm-hmm. So it's so the reason I kind of was asking about that is, have you heard of an app called TuTalk? It's TuTalk.
Is that the one where you can do like the minute of video with like music overlay and stuff? Also a Chinese company? TikTok?
No.
Not TikTok. It's another one.
That's JibJab, isn't it? No. I know which one you're talking about, and I don't know what it's called.
I think it's TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's TikTok. No. TuTalk is basically the same as Signal or WeChat, except that it was developed by the government of the United Arab Emirates. And it got 86th from the Google store a while back for privacy, invasive privacy policies. And but I'm happy to say it's back. So
I will not be installing that on my phone, nor will I be installing the other one.
Yeah. You know, there's this really mischievous part of me that just wants to install it and, you know, and get you to install it. And then we can call and talk about, like, you know, collecting bomb-making supplies and things like that, just to give somebody in the United Arab Emirate a little bit of a thrill, you know. It's so.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever purchased bomb making supplies before in my life, you know, but, or not well, that I would know what they
I
were.
I was going to say, not knowingly, there's a lot of items that are readily available that can be, do that.
You're talking about vinegar and baking soda. Aren't
yep.
you?
Yeah, yep. exactly.
All right. And a pop bottle, right. Or, you know,
danger.
Yeah, that's pretty. Oh no, no. It's Mentos, isn't it?
Well, Mentos and diet soda or any soda.
Okay.
Because the Mentos has titanium dioxide on it. It has nucleation points, so it makes the pop go whoosh, and
Got
fizz.
It. All right.
Real good.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. So it's, but yeah, so if anybody wants to get spied on by the United Arab Emirates government, that would be the app to get. I'm sure they probably did something to remediate the security concerns. But anyway, it's considered to be a competitive product to WhatsApp at this point. And,
so speaking of terms of service, I ran across an interesting little project. It's called Terms of Service Didn't Read. I've read and agreed to the terms in the biggest lie on the web. We aim to fix that. So basically they go through and they read the terms of services for you.
Uh-huh.
So like they have Google here and...
So it's like a Cliff Notes of terms of service.
Right.
Is that what you're, like Spark Notes or something?
Yeah, you know? Very similar. So it's
cool.
TOSDR.org. And then you just go down to the bottom and you can kind of see what, so Google says terms, the service may collect, use, or share location data. The service can read your private messages, so on and so forth. And so you can kind of quickly get an idea of when you load an application or go to a certain website, what you're getting yourself into from that perspective.
They have like a numerical rating system or something?
Right now they have different classes. So a class A would be very good and a class E would be very bad.
Okay.
And so...
Like class E like involves giving over your firstborn and stuff like that.
Let's see here. Yeah, just there's a bunch of...
Giving up all your intellectual property that anything that you... Any intellectual property that gets presented, it becomes theirs.
Things,
right?
Yeah, just
like,
bad
like
things.
Facebook, you know, for instance.
Yeah.
So it's, well, yeah, I'm going to have to go check that out. That's
Facebook doesn't have a class yet, so they haven't.
Oh, okay. They're classless.
They're classless. Same with Wikipedia, Reddit, and so on. So
what's that Rodney Dangerfield line? Give me a call when you got no class. So. Well, that's very good. So did you see that apparently one of the United States government sites got hacked by Iran?
No,
that's a shocker. So, yeah, apparently they're a little bit upset with Donald Trump.
Was the password log me in 123? Probably.
It was America number one or MAGA or something. I don't know. Yes, a group of hackers claiming to be from Iran hijacked a U.S. government website and posted a pro-Iranian message on it. Visitors to the Federal Depository Library Program's website on Saturday were met with a picture of a bloody Donald Trump. An accompanying message declared hackers were acting in retaliation for the killing of Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani. And there's no confirmation that it's actually an Iranian state action, but... the fun begins, you know, it's knowing what I know about computers and the internet and technology. It blows my mind to think of like how many opportunities there are for them to just make our lives a living.
When you just read about, when you just read it every week about something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, nothing's safe, you know, I mean, nothing's safe from being hacked basically.
Yeah, so. You'd have to air gap it and then make some other arrangements as well.
Yeah.
To even get close, which means you have no internet, so there's no point.
Yeah. So let's see here. I thought I found an article called The Product of the Decade for 2010 through 2019. But what do you think it would be? That's a pretty wide range of dates, isn't it?
I mean, a lot has changed in 10 years. I'm trying to think of what's really...
Uh-huh.
I mean, Linux is on every single supercomputer in the top 500 now.
Yeah.
But in 2000, there were a few Windows ones left in 2010. So, Windows is or Microsoft is completely gone from the highest end computers in the world.
Yeah. Well, this guy kind of wimped out, and he took it 1 year at a time. So for 2010, we'll just take a little walk through history here, is the iPad, which is kind of hard to argue with. You know, it's a pretty groundbreaking product.
And, yep. Yeah, I was trying to figure out where the iPhone was. I think that was 2007, wasn't it, for the iPhone, or a little earlier, 2006?
I was, you know, my daughter was one of the people that camped out waiting for the new iPhone to come out. And I'm just like, I do not see what the big deal is here. It's like, I got my BlackBerry, you know?
Yeah.
Now I see what the big deal is.
I still miss my keyboard.
Yeah. You know, I got one of those BlackBerry Pearls, and I thought it was the coolest thing because it has like a joystick, like a trackball on it. It was the biggest piece of junk. It's
BlackBerry never had the software library to back it up.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet that the suicide rate at BlackBerry's plant was higher than most of the other ones. I mean, the hardware was just, it was literally $7 worth of hardware. And it worked like $7 worth of hardware. So anyway, 2011, he's saying that the Audi A7 was the product of the year. So likes the technology involved in the Audi A7. 2012, the Nokia 920. What is the Nokia 920? Did you ever have one of those?
I considered getting one of those for a long time. Well, no, wait, that was the Windows Phone one.
It was a Microsoft phone, yep.
So the yep. Okay, that was not one I considered.
Okay.
But it was after that, the Nokia 7 or something like that, when they did a Linux thing.
2013, he is pimping, the author of this article is pimping his book, a book by his friend Brian David Johnson called Humanity in the Machine. I've not heard of that book, but it sounds kind of intriguing.
Is it in the vein of the Cathedral and the Bazaar?
It says, the book suggests alternative paths would make life better rather than making life more dangerous and depressing. Who can argue with that?
Yep, very different then.
So, ensuring a better path for humanity should be part of every company's strategy, yet, sadly, it still isn't. So, 2014, the Microsoft Surface. That's arguable.
Was that the Microsoft Surface or Microsoft Surface RT? I guess that was probably the first one, the RT.
No, the first iteration of the Surface was the Nextbook. Windows 2-in-1 tablet, it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Windows made a short foray into the ARM realms from the x86 realm, and that ended poorly.
Yeah. 2015 was the year of the BlackBerry Priv, a smartphone that blended the keyboard of the past with the screen focus of the present. It lacked the marketing needed to cause the market to pivot back to the business-focused phone, and the battle continues with the Key 2, which remains in the market today and sold out at launch. I haven't even heard of that. We live in a very sheltered world here. So, 2016, Amazon Echo. So,
yeah, the digital assistants are very interesting. I'm not
hockey puck by all of their appearances.
Yes. A very smart hockey puck, but a hockey puck nonetheless.
Yeah. He's 2017. He's calling the ThinkPad.
I love my ThinkPad.
I know. I'm telling the guy who's got like working on his ThinkPad right now as we speak. So yeah. It was the 25th anniversary of the ThinkPad in 2017.
Yeah, that was about
that's impressive. Yeah. 2018. Let's see. What's he saying? Deep Instinct. Are you familiar with what that is?
Is that one of the AI attempts?
It's the only deep learning product capable of fighting back. HP got an exclusive license for this product, which significantly enhanced its PC security to a point where it can argue that it is the most secure PC vendor in the market segment today. So, and let's see. He's got a whole bunch. Let's see. He's got a whole bunch of them here. So,
I don't know. Anyway. 2019 is tough because you don't have a legacy to look back on. So it's like what was the, you know, was it the Tesla truck or the windmills or
he's kind of like in one of these sleep systems that like has the chili pad. It's the Uller sleep system. Are you familiar with that? O-O-L-E-R?
No.
Yeah, so it's a pad that basically goes on your bed, and it's got a digital control. And looks like you can Bluetooth into it with your phone and everything. So like when you're sitting downstairs watching TV, you can like connect to your bed and tell it to warm it up.
I'd be almost more interested in one that cooled off the bed.
It does the cooling off.
Oh, it does
too.
The cooling.
Yeah, it does both of them. So maybe you need to look into one.
Yeah, I might need to look into that.
We need to get a free one, you know, for the show.
For testing. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so there we go. That was kind of a fun walk down memory lane in some case, wow, how did I miss that lane?
Right.
So,
yeah, the ThinkPad 25 came out just after I had purchased this one I'm using right now.
That's exactly the one that they mentioned here, the ThinkPad 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
No, definitely. Yeah. I've been very pleased with their support over the years.
I just wish they'd get rid of that little red joystick in the middle of the keyboard. Those things, I got traumatized by those back when they were the only game in town before the trackpad came out. It's like you could drive yourself crazy using one of those things. And it's like,
now if you can use it to game, then
oh wow, yeah, then no. You should probably see a neurologist. I'm thinking, you know, yeah, that's well, it's been a very interesting decade, and I cannot imagine what we're going to be talking about 9 years from now.
Well, just you know. Yeah, everything's just accelerated.
Yeah.
Although Moore's Law has largely come to a close.
Yeah, you think things are going to slow down now?
Well, we have to figure out a new direction from silicon. We're down to 7 nanometers.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's less than the wavelength of UV light. That's like in the realm of light that is X-rays.
Mm-hmm.
So if the light, and it's just stunning to me how small that is,
mm-hmm.
and how much information they can pack into, you know, and the dyes have gotten bigger and bigger to be able to have that space,
mm-hmm.
To put, you know, billions of transistors on to do all these mathematics that we have them do all day.
Yeah.
So it's just,
you know, at a certain point, I just kind of put my hand up and said, I'm not even going to try to understand how microprocessors work.
Right.
Like, I just, you know, it's well, like my mind can only take so much.
Well, and we have, and there's full open source CPUs now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can yep. from the ground up, you know what the lithography was, mm-hmm. what the design was, every aspect of it. So you can figure out, and those are near viable. I'm mm-hmm. I kind of want to get one,
yeah,
to see how it does.
Got it. Yeah. So all right, we getting down on time here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Indeed. Have a great week.
Yeah.